This is the recording of the second chapter of part 2 Eliot's theories. Name of the chapter: Dissociation of Sensibility. In his essay entitled The Metaphysical Poets, 1921, T.S. Eliot mentions two very effective terms: dissociation of sensibility and unification of sensibility, determining the symptoms of bad poetry and good poetry respectively. The former diagnoses the weakness of poetry, that is, a separation of thought from feeling, whereas the latter means a harmonious balance or fusion of thought and feeling, which proves to be a quality of good poetry. For the proper understanding of the phrase dissociation of sensibility, it is better to elucidate first unification of sensibility, which this appears from English poetry from the outbreak of the Civil War and continues till modern times. Perpetually concerned with the nature of poetry, Eliot, with his stupendous learning of the whole of the European literature and influenced particularly by T.E. Hulme, H-U-L-M-E, Ezra Pound, Dante, Jules Laforge, L-A-F-O-R-G-U-E, and the French symbolists, arrives at the conclusion that poetry is a living whole and an emotional equivalent of thought. To achieve this end, a poet has to unite his thought and feeling, ideas and emotions perfectly well. A poet is gifted with a refined sensibility, and when his mind is fully charged and ready for creation, it starts composing different experiences into an organic whole. Whether the experience is a matter of love, or the reading of Spinoza, or the noise of the typewriter, or the smell of cooking, it matters little to a poet. He has a capacity to harmonize all such experiences and fuses them into a whole, into one whole, by finding the verbal equivalent for states of mind and feeling. On the other hand, an ordinary man's experience is confused, broken, and incomplete. This process of composing poetry is called unification of sensibility. Eliot believes that through a unification of sensibility, different types of experience and emotion fused together are presented into a powerful image. He discovers this quality in the later Elizabethan poets, the early Jacobean dramatists, Middleton, Webster, Johnson, Chapman, and Tournier, T-O-U-R-N-E-U-R, and in the metaphysical poets, Donne, Herbert, Lord Herbert of Cheruvuri, Marvell, and Rashaw, C-H-R-A-S-H-A-W. The early 17th century poets are men of learning and have a mechanism of sensibility which could devour any kind of experience. They achieve this mechanism of sensibility through sudden contrast, obscure words, far-fetched imagery, conceit, wit, simple phrasing, rapid associations with different layers, and they are capable of assimilating their learning into feeling. Therefore, for good poetry, there is a direct sensuous apprehension of thought or a recreation of thought into feeling. Eliot feels a pity that it is a misfortune of English poetry that a unification of sensibility is absent from the revolution, and a dissociation of sensibility begins and continues till the present day. Eliot blames Milton and Dryden for the damage of the quality of poetry. They are responsible for the split between thought and feeling. Though they are good psychologists, and in some respects their poetry is better than Donne, Marvell, and King, and their language is more refined, yet the feeling and the sensibility expressed in their poetry immature and crude. From the 18th century onward, the poets react against the methodical reasoning. They can think and feel not now and then, not regularly. Though Shelley in Triumph of Life and Keats in the second Hypertension tried to achieve a unification of sensibility, but succeed very little. Tennyson and Browning are poets, and they think, but they do not feel their thought as immediately as the odor of a rose. Eliot is also conscious of the defects of the metaphysicals. Their poetry is loaded with philosophical matter, but despite all, he considers them better and more mature than the later poets, because they have a creative power to transmute ideas into sensations and transform an observation into a state of mind. Dissociation of sensibility has a wider meaning. The split is not between thought and feeling alone, it is in religion, culture, and personality too. Eliot says, the difference is not a simple difference of degree between poets. It is something which had happened to the mind of England. Real art is created only against the background of a well-defined ethical system. Art then presents a concrete image of itself, absorbing the ethos of the times, neatly organized system of values. Therefore, if any art is going to be appreciated, it is essential to plumb the human mind and the social setting, not only the mind of the poet alone. The contemporary social and psychological background play a very vital role in the creation of art. Therefore, there are certain causes for a dissociation of sensibility, but those are too complex to point out easily. Earlier, Eliot considers Milton and Dryden responsible for a dissociation of sensibility, but later on he changes his outlook and states, "To lay the burden on the shoulders of Milton and Dryden was a mistake. If such a dissociation did take place, I suspect that the causes are too complex and profound to justify our accounting for the change in terms of literary criticism. We must seek the causes in Europe, not in England alone." According to Wilson Knight, if we look into deeply, we get to the point that a dissociation of sensibility does not start in the 17th century, but it is already present in the writings of the 16th century. Eliot does not consider metaphysical poetry as a movement or school. It is nothing new. It is directly linked with the tradition of English poetry of the 16th century. It is only a later 17th century the tradition gets disturbed because of a dissociation of sensibility. It is the direct and normal development of the precedent age. Eliot further says, "What would have been the fate of the metaphysical had the current of poetry descended in a direct line from them, as it descended in a direct line to them? They would not certainly be classified as metaphysical." It is true that Eliot's theory enjoys a widespread popularity, but it has also been subjected to considerable criticism by Williamson, Ramsden, Brooks, and Tate. Gourmet Leishman finds that the fusion of thought and feeling is evident in a few poems of Donne, and this theory is more intelligible as a program for a poet in the 20th century than as an account of poetry in the 17th century. Frank Kermode, Kermode, finds the theory unsatisfactory and considers it merely an attempt to rationalize the position of the poet in a scientific world. Thus, this chapter is now over. Thank you.